The celebrated cellist Stephen Isserles adds one more credit to his list. Tonight he debuts with the New York Philharmonic. That story is next on All Things Considered.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Over the past two decades, British cellist Stephen Isserles has had a distinguished career, playing all over the globe with such orchestras as the Berlin Philharmonic and the Chicago Symphony. He has recorded dozens of CDs. He's written a children's book about composers. He's even been named a commander of the British Empire. But one credit absent from Mr. Liss's resume is an appearance with the New York Philharmonic, and that is changing tonight. Jeff London reports.
If Stephen Isserles lives and breathes music, it's genetic. His grandfather was the Russian-born pianist and composer Julius Isserles. His mother was a piano teacher, his sisters are professional musicians, and he can trace his musical ancestry all the way back to Felix Mendelssohn, an 18th cousin. The 43-year-old cellist loves nothing more than hearing and telling stories about musicians, like the one he swears isn't apocryphal, about the time his grandfather took his father to look for apartments in Vienna in 1923.
My father still remembers being shown around by this 102-year-old Hausfrau around a possible apartment. And my grandfather at one point said, "Well, I'm a musician. Is it all right for musicians to stay here?" And the woman said, No. When I was a little girl, there was a musician living here. Disgusting old man used to spit all over the floor. I don't like musicians." My grandfather said, "Gosh, well, that must have been a long time ago. Who was that?" And she said, "That was Beethoven." So my father met somebody who met Beethoven.
Tales of composers behaving badly and nicely are numerous in Stephen Isserles' book for children, Why Beethoven Threw the Stew, and lots more stories from the lives of great composers.
Children have been increasingly important in my life since my son was born in 1990, and I wanted to buy him a book about music. But I couldn't really find the sort of book I wanted, and I've always enjoyed writing. If I hadn't been a musician, I would have wanted to be a writer. So I just decided I would write one myself.
The book was published in England last year and is already on its third printing. As part of his week's activities with the New York Philharmonic, Isserles presented a reading from it yesterday. He says the book's popularity is making him something of a darling of the preteen set in his native land.
One nice side effect of that is now, at least here in England, my concerts, there's lots of children come to the concerts, which is great. I mean, not only because I think they should, but, you know, come to music, but also it's great for me because, of course, I get very nervous before concerts, partly because I do really care about every concert. But if I look at a child, I think they don't care if I play a wrong note or have a slight memory lapse. And they just want to, you know, enjoy this music. And that's actually really good for me. It's a calming thing.
Isserles loves introducing audiences to new repertoire. Over the years, he's developed a reputation as something of a musical sleuth, poking around libraries looking for copies of neglected pieces of music. Isserlis is going to be playing one of his discoveries, Carl Frühling's clarinet trio in A minor, in a chamber music concert this weekend with members of the New York Philharmonic. He recorded the piece a few years ago with clarinetist Michael Collins and his good friend and frequent collaborator, pianist Stephen Huff.
Stephen and I share an interest in obscure repertoire that's unjustly neglected. I think neither of us play things just because they're not played. I think that we've got to feel a certain conviction about them.
Stephen Huff and Stephen Isserlis first met at the Spoleto Festival over a decade ago. It took them a few years to become friends. Now they live in the same neighborhood in London, have dinner regularly, and often tour together. Huff says some musicians take Isserlis's teasing too seriously, but he loves the lively give and take.
I find that I learn a lot when I'm playing with him, although we do argue about things and we certainly have very different opinions about certain aspects, and because I play the louder instrument, I tend to win. Well, sometimes.
Isserlis has strong opinions about many musical matters. For instance, he insists on using gut rather than the more common steel strings on his three cellos.
Until the Second World War, virtually every string player used gut strings, which come from animals, from deceased animals, I hasten to add. I did once have a student who refused to change because she was a vegetarian, but she gave in the end because there's no cruelty to animals involved. And I think there's a big difference in the sound and in also in the way one can play, that I think one can play much more simply on gut because the sound itself is alive.
Tonight, Stephen Isserlis will play Tchaikovsky's variations on a Rococo theme on his Stradivarius on gut strings.
Tchaikovsky wrote these Rococo variations, I think, as a tribute to Mozart, who was his favorite composer. And these Rococo variations are a 19th century look at the 18th century, I think. They're very elegant.
Isserlis says he's excited to be making his debut at the New York Philharmonic, but he's also scared.
I'm terrified, to be honest. I should be exceedingly nervous. I'm first of all at the rehearsal, hoping they like me. But of course I have some friends in the orchestra, including the first cellist, Carter Braes, an old friend of mine. I shall not be relaxed when I come onto the stage, but it's great to be asked.
Stephen Isserlis's 85-year-old father will be in the audience this evening, and if he's lucky, there'll be lots of children, too. For NPR News, I'm Jeff London in New York.